Blog Talk Radio.
Commissioner T. It is December 21st. Christmas will be here Tuesday. Happy holidays to everybody. Whatever, however you celebrate this time of the year, I wish you nothing but love, peace, and happiness. And whatever way that you honor this time of the year, I hope it works well for you, your family, and your loved ones. There really is nothing like Christmas. I gotta admit, I haven't completely been in a Christmas spirit this year. But the events of a week ago certainly refocused me to be more appreciative of what I have and who I have in my life. And I have rethought my Christmas spirit, if you know what I'm talking about. A very special young lady in my life. And Wednesday night, we went out and her idea, and she asked me if I would do this with her. And we went out and bought a helium balloon. And on a balloon, she wrote Newtown 26, and we went out to the parking lot of where we were, and we let the balloon go. You know, we watched it till we couldn't see it anymore, and we're both tears running out of our eyes, can barely talk, and, you know, we hugged each other, and it was a moment. It was a moment for us to share, but it was really the bigger moment was appreciating what you have and who you have in your life, you know, appreciating not just your kids, because certainly this tragedy is a lot about children, but it's also there were six adults that life ended to, some heroes there. And so really just taking a minute and appreciating what you have. And I think this time of the year you want to do that. We can all certainly sit down and complain about what ain't working right, our financial problems, our job, aches and pains, all types of stuff. But, you know, maybe take a minute, find somebody you love, give them a hug, give them a kiss. Tell somebody that wouldn't expect it how much they mean to you. And I firmly believe in that 26 acts of kindness that Ann Curry kind of got going and is catching like wildfire. I firmly believe in that. Trying to do it myself. But, you know, you shouldn't even need that to make it. We should just do that anyway. We should just be that kind of society anyway. It'd be nice, right? You know, we always rally together when there's a tragedy. And then 6 months later, we're back hating each other. But maybe this time it'll stick. All right, getting off my soapbox, coming back to some NFL football for the next hour. Commissioner T here, 347-838-9525. If you want to call in, if you want to go to Twitter, be my guest and catch us at The Madden Voice on Twitter. Or feel free to go to Facebook and go ahead and like the Facebook page. And you'll see us there, the Madden Voice. Just type in the Madden Voice. You can't. You know, if you just go to Google and type in the Madden Voice, you'd be surprised at how many things will pop up. And it's all us. As you know, I normally host a show with Dr. Train and K-Star. But on Friday, I kind of just do my thing. They know they're always welcome to join in. Sometimes Dr. Train will call in. One week, K-Star even called in. But he's still licking his wounds and that beating. That wasn't a beating, but the loss that came to the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, and I got a very interesting dilemma this week. Because I am now in playoffs in the MBX Fantasy Football League. We're down to four. And I am in a very interesting situation where I have Drew Brees as my starting quarterback, and he's going up against my Cowboys. You know, and my backup's Carson Palmer. Sorry. I can't do that. I mean, if I were to bench Drew Brees because of loyalty to the Cowboys, it's not going to affect his performance, right? I can't do that. I thought this through, and I can't. I mean, he's going to play the game he plays whether I have him start or not. So for me, I guess it's going to be I am rooting for Dallas to win this game, and I'm picking the Cowboys to win in a shootout, 41-35, Brees throws 5 touchdown passes. Best of both worlds. The Cowboys win, and the Saints lose, but Brees still throws 5 touchdown passes. That's kind of what I'm hoping for. I'll take it, 41-35, overtime. Cowboys get the ball first, deep to Dez Bryant, touchdown, game's over. That's kind of what I'm hoping for. Back to life, back to reality. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to leave Brees in and just hope for the best. He's brought me the money once before, and hopefully he'll bring me the money this week against my Cowboys. And speaking of my Cowboys, I cannot believe that I still have to hear disrespect when talking about Dallas and their latest 5 out of 6 wins, 3 in a row. And people are still waiting for them to implode. And I don't understand why you can't give a team credit where credit is due. I can't change the past. Things have happened in the past. I can't change it. I really can't. But let's talk about what's going on right now. The team went from 3-5 to 8-6. 5 out of 6. Seattle wins 5 out of 6, and they're world beaters. You know, they're the best team in the West Coast. They're going to beat the 49ers. They're incredible. Oh, my God. Dallas wins 5 out of 6, and we'll see what they do against the Saints. Come on now. Can we be fair? I sit on this show every week, and I give credit where credit is due, and I blast where I need to blast. And when my team was tanking, y'all heard me blast them. You heard me get tired. You heard me on this very show say I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the ups and downs. I'm tired of it. You heard me blast Jason Garrett. You heard me blast Tony Romo. I have Rob Ryan. For the poorest defense that he put out on the field a few weeks, I blasted my own team. But when they're winning and doing well, why can't I get some love? Every show I turn on, Dallas, you know what happens to Dallas this time of year. No, I don't know, because we ain't gone through this yet. This is 2012. This ain't 2011. This ain't 2010. Who cares? This is right now. So let's see what happens. They done already won 2 games in December. The worst they can finish is 2-2. So what's the problem? Why are people giving them no chance against the Saints? The Saints scored 41 against Tampa Bay, and now they're world beaters. Need I remind you that the Saints are 6-8? 6-8. New Orleans Saints, 6-8. This is not a team that has played 14 dominant weeks of football. This is a team that is 6-8. We've seen Drew Brees throw 5 interceptions in 1 game. Did we not? We've seen that defense look hideous this year. But for some reason, people are treating them like they're the 13-1 Saints or something. I don't understand. I of course, said that I thought the Saints would rally and turn it around. I was wrong. They played better, but not enough to turn it around. I was wrong. I stuck by them because I believe in Drew Brees and I believe in, that organization. But it was clear to me that without Sean Payton, that the team had troubles. You know, it's clear to me that without Sean Payton, they just aren't going to get to where they need to get to. And one of the things that, let's just take a minute and recap the Saints season just for a minute. Because, I think people forget. I didn't forget. Team started 0-4. Okay, and they're 6-4 since, which... okay, but they started 0-4. Lost to Washington by 8. Lost to Carolina by 8. Lost to Kansas City. Third week of the season. Kansas City beat them. Field goal. Lost to Green Bay by 1 point. Then they came back, beat San Diego, beat Tampa. Okay? Then they lost to Denver. Beat Philly, beat Atlanta, beat Oakland. So now there's 5 out of 6. Okay, I called the Atlanta game, by the way, in case y'all forgot. I told y'all that the Saints would beat the Falcons. I believe I said that in the first game. Lost to the 49ers. Lost to the Falcons. Got spanked by the Giants. And then came back and wiped out Tampa Bay. So if the Giants can put 52 points on Drew Brees, why do you not think, I mean, I'm sorry, not on Drew Brees, but on the Saints. Why do you think Dallas can't do the same thing? Why is everybody saying Dallas can't get in a shootout because this team scored 41 against Tampa Bay? Who cares? I said on this show many times, I don't believe in Tampa Bay. They're not that good. Y'all, everybody forget? You know, I do this for a living, okay? This is what I do. I said Tampa Bay ain't going anywhere. 6-18. Josh Freeman. Doug Martin, all of, you know, yeah, Vincent Jackson. Still 6-18. Eliminated from the playoffs. At least the Saints are still mathematically alive. The Bucs are not. And yeah, they wiped them out. BFHD. That stands for Big Fat Hairy Deal. Now, I'm not saying Dallas is going to roll into Texas Stadium and spank the Saints. I would never say that. Dallas is not built to blow teams out, unfortunately. But they have become winners. Tony Romo's playing out of his mind. Dez Bryant's looking like, I mean, when Calvin Johnson, a.k.a. Megatron, says Dez Bryant is a beast, what does that tell you about where Dez Bryant's coming? Miles Austin is finally 100% healthy for the first time in 3 years. Jason Witten, need I say more? DeMarco Murray. You know, the offense is healthy, is as healthy as I've seen them, and they're looking good, the offense. Defense, considering all the injuries they have on defense, I was amazed that they were able to do the things that they did to the Steelers, including the sacks, interceptions, and stuff, because it's a mass unit on defense. It's a mass unit. I mean, I'm going to go off of memory now, okay, because I don't have it in front of me. But defensive nose tackle, your starter and your backup are both out. Defensive nose tackle, okay? Defensive end, you're okay. Linebacker, where's Herb, is going to play. Spencer's going to play. Your two starting inside linebackers, both out. Okay? Let's go to secondary. Your starting free safety, out. Your one of your starting quarterbacks was just out. First round draft pick, number 6 pick in the draft. He was just out. He is expected to play on Sunday. So we do have Morris Claiborne coming back. We have Brandon Carr still, and we still have Sensabaugh. Okay, so, you know, when you play a 3-4 defense and both your starting inside linebackers are out, that's major. When you play a 3-4 defense and your nose tackle and your backup aren't playing, that's major. So, you know, they are starting to get a little bit healthier. But that said, what they've done with who they have on defense deserves some notice is all I'm saying. Is all I'm saying. You play in the NFL, everybody gets hurt, and you know, and that's part of the game. But, you know, Pittsburgh at home in Cincinnati, team's playing some football. All I'm saying is, guys, stop hating on Dallas, okay? Stephen A. Smith made me sick. He's sitting over there talking about Saints going to win this game. I don't think he's picked Dallas to win one game all year, to be honest with you. I don't think he's picked Dallas to win one game all year. Because there's always a reason. Now he doesn't say accident waiting to happen because of what happened, but he then tells you how he's not going to say accident waiting to happen because of what happened. Well, dude, if you say that every show, you're saying Cowboys are an accident waiting to happen. You might as well just go back and say it. You're trying to be sensitive, but you're really not. You might as well just go out and say it. And on the note of First Take, this isn't really T-Bonics, but I must say something. I'm disgusted. I'm almost to the point where I may stop watching the show. The one thing I've always thought about with Skip Bayless was he was a man of his convictions. And I saw the interview this morning with Terrell Owens, who many of you know is my favorite football player. Love me some T.O. Love anybody that can run their mouth and get out on the field and back it up. Workout warrior, hardest working man in the NFL. It's unfortunate that he's not in the NFL anymore, but it is what it is. I watched him on First Take this morning. Skip Bayless, over the years, has pulled no punches at going after T.O. from the time he was at San Francisco, Philly, and certainly I caught a lot of the stuff when he was with Dallas. Called him Team Obliterator, among other nicknames. And he interviews, he's part of this interview, and he admitted, yeah, I used to call you that and all that, but he's tap dancing. You know, and if I was T.O., T.O., I give him credit, man. Whatever he's learned about humility and, you know, rising above the fray, I give him a lot of credit. Because had that been me, and I'm getting on your show, and you've dogged me every time, every chance you got, you dogged me, and might be a reason why I'm not in the league now, because all you do is dog me. Well, I'm gonna let you have it. I'm gonna let you have it. I'm sorry. I ain't playing football now. So what? I'm gonna ruin the slim chance that someone's gonna call me in the playoffs. Not gonna happen. If you're not on the team now, T.O., I'm sorry. It's over. It's over. Is there a chance that someone could call you up next year? I suppose. But why are they going to call a 40-year-old, even if he is a Hall of Famer? It's not going to happen. So for me, I would have blasted Bayless. I would have blasted. I would have called him out on everything he said. You come on the show and you hide behind the shield of the media. Now I'm looking you in your face. Now what do you got to say? It's just disgusting. Anyway, 347-838-9525, 347-838-9525. You can also catch us on Twitter. You can also catch us on Facebook. Chat room is open in case you want to slide in there. You know, it'd be all yours because ain't nobody in the chat room. Want to thank everybody. Again, last Friday's show done during such a tragic time when I didn't even know. But it's last Friday's show had the most listeners of any show we've done this season, any show. I don't know why, but all I can say is thank you. Keep up the good work. Tell a friend to check out The Madden Voice. Let's move on. Vikings at the Texans. It's going to be a good game. Vikings got some D. Texans got some D. Vikings got Adrian Peterson. Texans got Arian Foster. Vikings got Adrian Peterson. Texans got Andre Johnson. The Vikings got Adrian Peterson. The Texans got, I can't remember the tight end's name, but he's pretty good. You get my point? Vikings got Adrian Peterson. Texans got everybody else. I think that the Vikings' focus is on Adrian Peterson breaking that record, and God bless them. But if they don't wake up and realize they're playing a real team that has a lot of weapons, they're going to find themselves in a big hole real fast. Real fast. You got to go with the Texans at home on this one. And Adrian Peterson will have 170 yards. I mean, he will. The Texans D has been pathetic lately. You know, I mean, maybe for a half against the Steelers. Was that the Steelers they played? The Steelers? No, not against the Steelers. I'm sorry. I was thinking of the Patriots. Patriots played 49ers. I'm sorry. Texans defense has been horrible. It's not been good at all. So I don't expect them to do much to stop the Vikings. But the Texans have so much more on offense that I just think that they're gonna outpoint the Vikings. On the note of the Vikings, on the note of comeback player of the year is being debated all over the world, Peyton Manning, Adrian Peterson, comeback player of the year. To me, this is easy. This is easy because Adrian Peterson was injured in the last game of the year. And he's back. He made it back, but where did he go to be comeback player of the year? You're injured on the last game of the year. If you want to talk about Adrian Peterson for most valuable player, offensive player of the year, or something like that, I can get behind that conversation. But to even put him in the same conversation under the definition of comeback, where did you come from? You were hurt the last game of the season. And granted, we thought you'd be gone for a while. We thought that, and you being the workout warrior that you am, being the beast that you are, you came back much earlier than anybody thought, and you played at a much higher level than anybody would thought. I'll give you that. But I don't think you were gone to call this a comeback. Peyton Manning didn't play at all last year. Was let go by a team because they didn't want to pay him $28 million bonus. That team right now with their rookie quarterback is poised to go into the playoffs. So we say, what happened to Peyton? Oh, you know, Denver's only 10-3 and, I'm sorry, 11-3 and, you know, won their division and just trying to battle for, where their seeding is going to be for the playoffs. I mean, Denver's in, you know, they're going. Colts have a good chance, but Denver is in. And this is a guy who missed the entire season, had 4 neck surgeries. He comes into the NFL beginning of this year. What did we say? His passes aren't all that accurate. He doesn't have that kind of velocity. It should even have came back. I think he's answering all of our questions. It's not should he have. It's we're glad he did. But, again, to me, you don't miss the last game of the year with a major injury and then you're ready to play season opener and you say, I'm back. I just don't think he should count as comeback player of the year. So for that, my vote would go to Peyton Manning, hands down. And anybody that vote for what's my boy's name? Peterson, for comeback player of the year? Comeback player of the year? You need your head examined. You do. You need your head examined. Matter of fact, compensation committee should look and draw some clear guidelines for what. How long do you need to miss before you're considered comeback player of the year? And for my money, you need to miss a full season. For me, if I have nothing to do with this, but if you ask me, you need to be out a full season before, and then returning, playing at a reasonably high level before, you know. I kind of lost my train of thought. I lost my train of thought. I got Sports Center on in the background. They're talking some football too, so I'm going back and forth trying to catch what I can catch. Lost my train of thought, guys. Happens with old age too. We talk about comeback player of the year, Adrian Peterson. Yeah, I think there should be a minimum number of games you have to miss. Half a season, a full season, I don't really care what it is, but you miss this amount of time, then you can come back and be the comeback player of the year, okay? But you can't miss half of a last game of the season, come back the next season like nothing, and then say, oh, great comeback. It's not a comeback. You ain't go nowhere. Eli Manning, I mean, Jesus, I can't talk today. Peyton Manning went somewhere. Peyton Manning was out of the league, had four neck surgeries. So, to me, it's hands down, player of the year. 347-838-9525, 347-838-9525, here on the Madden Voice. Looks like we got our fantasy football buddy about to call in. 609 area code, welcome to the Madden Voice.
Yo, my fantasy brother, how you doing? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Awesome, man. How you doing? Hey, two quick questions. One is, I got the 49ers defense. Now, the guy I'm playing has Marshawn Lynch, so there would be a 8:30 game on Sunday. But also available, and they played great against Brady last week without Brady, but I didn't play him. Here's the thing. Do you take a chance on the 49ers going on the road again for a second time, going from the East Coast to the West Coast back again, and it's a division rivalry, or do you try to pick up and luck out? I'm in the finals. Take Indianapolis' defense or the Chargers. What's your take on this?
When in doubt, always go with the best defense. Always go, in my opinion, when in doubt, go with the best defense.
Because last week I sat the best defense and went with the Titans, and I got 27 points. I would have got 12 from the 49ers because I had Brady on my team, and I won $75 with the weekly high, and it put me in the finals.
Yeah,
so that's why I, you know.
But remember, you're talking about Tom Brady. Russell Wilson is not Tom Brady. Okay, I mean that's Tom Brady. Okay, there's no one in the league like Tom Brady. Okay, so yeah. It's a good call against Tom Brady. I'm in a situation where I got Drew Brees as my starter.
Well,
and he's my starter this week going up against, and now this is a fantasy loyalty situation. I'm a Cowboy fan, but I got Drew Brees. I got to go. Drew Brees throws 5 touchdowns, but the Cowboys score 40 points and win the game. It's just disgusting. I don't like being in a situation, but I can't bench Drew Brees. I mean, he's going to
No, you got to play Brees. Now with my receivers, what I've been doing, because it's a PPR league, I've been gone all year with Cruz and Julio Jones. Now, I do have Hilton, but I also have Cecil Shorts. Now, Cecil Shorts in a PPR league, this dude's like clockwork. He's always 100 yards, which is 10 points plus 5 bonuses of 15, not counting catches. If I count whatever amount of catches, you had a point for them, and for touchdown. Now, do you still like, I guess Julio, you got to go with because he's been consistent, especially on the road. And Cruz, like you said, with the Giants, man, you never know what's going on, but do you still start Cruz over Cecil Shorts?
That's
the last 5 weeks he's been good. But look at Denario Alexander. He was a stud for 5 weeks and won a dud last week. So
yeah, you got Cruz going up against the Ravens, and I don't care. The Ravens can still play some D. Good luck. That's the problem when you get down to this and you get into playoff time with fantasy football.
Right.
You're some really tough decisions. I wish I could give you the magic formula on that one. That's a gut call because if the Ravens D come to play, we've seen Victor Cruz have very anemic, non-stellar games against good defenses.
Right.
Also seen him have, 12 catches and 200 yards against good defenses. So, I mean,
you don't know which Manning's going to show up. You don't know which Victor Cruz is going to show up because, like you said, there's been good games, bad games. Sometimes you target them a lot. Sometimes you don't. You don't know, you know.
Look at the game, and you look at the Giants. I personally think that loss to Atlanta is going to be more than they can overcome. So when you look at what the team's going to do in Baltimore, who plays very well at home,
I agree.
Baltimore, a big game, and I expect their defense. I mean, we're still wondering, is this Ray Lewis's return? You know, is Ray Lewis going to – is this going to be Lewis and Suggs on the field for the first time together? Because, you know, that's going to lift that defense. And you still got around back there. I mean –
I was thinking Cecil Shorts too, but the problem is New England usually does a very good job of shutting down their opponent's number one receiver, and that's what Cecil Shorts is for Jacksonville, as where Blackman could have a good day. I'm not saying Cecil can't either, but I know Belichick has praised Cecil Shorts like he used to pray Fred Jackson, but you know this year although there was guys from Crabtree got passed and stuff. I don't know if Crabtree got a touchdown. When last week or not, I can't remember. But the bottom line is, they're not bad against the number ones. Like they take somebody out is what they target, and they usually do a pretty good job.
Right.
So could that be Cecil Shorts this week? I don't know. He's been a stud, for the last 5 weeks. And I'm like, I've been winning. Like I said, I got 4 points from Cruz last week, but I got 26 from Julio.
Yeah.
There's a guy I played had Ryan. And I went with DeMarco Murray, and I went with Forte. I sit Ridley. I don't trust Ridley this week. I think Ridley will probably score because 10-point rushing touchdown. But you know something? With that three-headed monster and him fumbling the ball twice, and once in the last 2 weeks each time, who knows what they're going to do. I think they're going to run. I think Brady will throw for 2 or 3 touchdowns, and I'll probably run it. Will it be Ridley? Who the heck knows? But in the finals, I don't want to take that chance because I know Forte and I know DeMarco Murray are going to get the carries. You know what I mean? I want to take that equation out and not have to worry about, is really going to be in? And you know what I mean? Because I want Brady to throw TDs. Like, you know what I mean? I got no backs. So we'll see what happens. But like you said, I got 49ers in there because they would give me them last, along with him having Marshawn Lynch. So I don't know. Like I said, he has the Giants, but he's actually starting the Panthers, and he also has Arizona's defense. So he took the Panthers off the line. So, hey, Oakland could light the Panthers up. You never know. You know what I mean? So, but like I said, I appreciate your help. You have a safe and happy holiday.
Sure.
And enjoy your day, man. Have a good weekend.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye. I'm not sure how much I helped him, to be honest with you. but you know what? Sometimes it's just good to have somebody you could talk to and bounce things off of, and maybe he just needed to flesh out his ideas, and hopefully that was good enough help, because other than that, I didn't really do much. Got my own problems, man. Got my own situations I'm dealing with, playoffs and stuff. My roster's set, though. My roster's set, and I'm wishing myself good luck in my playoff game this weekend. All right, 347-838-9525, 347-838-9525, to finish off Adrian Peterson, comeback player of the year. It's enough said. It's done. That's the way it should be. And, SportsCenter right now, you got T.O.'s been on. He's making – they call it the car wash. In case you – if you don't pay close attention to SportsCenter, when they bring somebody in and they're on all the different shows, they call it the car wash. And so T.O.'s today must be going through the car wash. And right now they have him and Jerry Rice live on the set right now. And it's actually pretty cool to know, as I sit here in Bristol, Connecticut, probably the two greatest wide receivers that ever played a game are sitting in Bristol, Connecticut, maybe 10 minutes from me right now. And one of them is my favorite player right there, T.O., man. I just wish I could, He tweeted me once, too, by the way. He tweeted me. I saved it. He tweeted me. Maybe if I go over there and hang out by the entrance, I can get like a little, I don't really like autographs. I can take him out for a beer or a drink or something, I don't know. But anyway, all right, back to the Madden voice. We've got Bengals versus the Steelers. We do not have K-Star on to really tell us why the Steelers are going to win. The more I think about it, the more I just don't think the Steelers are going to – I don't think this is their year. We sit here and we give Mike Tomlin a lot of credit, but you can only do so much on the sidelines. We talk about Big Ben, who can play the game. We talk about Polamalu. We talk about James Harrison. We talk about, I think Rashad Mendenhall might be coming back. I don't know, a little situation there. But, as I'm watching the controversy with Todd Haley and Big Ben, and Todd Haley comes on and says, sometimes conflict is good. Excuse me? Conflict is good? You're talking. This isn't you sitting in a locker room talking to one of the other coaches. You're doing a press conference, and you're telling the reporters that sometimes conflict is good. Told y'all about Todd Haley. I don't know why, you know, my co-host sometimes. I'm not always right. But I am right far more than I'm wrong. And when it comes to something that I tell you based on my knowing the Dallas Cowboy organization and an experience that I had with something or someone, I told you about Wade Phillips' defense, Madden Voice Land. Did I not? And what happened? What have we seen? That defense went from being stout to being like a doggone Swiss cheese or a freaking vegetable colander. I warned you, on big games, his defense doesn't show up. I told y'all, beginning of the season, Todd Haley's scheme is not what the Steelers want. What have we seen? A 7-7 team. You know, if I tell you something based on my time with the Cowboys, don't doubt me, baby. Because that is as close to a fact as you're going to get. Other things, when I said I'm riding the Saints, hey, that was just my opinion. I may be right, I may be wrong. You know what I'm saying? I get that. Did I not tell you that Tebow draft being traded was a publicity stunt? I did think he would get a chance to play, and I cannot believe the way they treated this man this year, and he needs to leave that team. He needs to just say, I don't care, trade me. Because they're starting McElroy on Sunday. So here is your first-round draft pick. Here's a guy who took the Broncos to the playoffs last year, beat K-Star's own Steelers, and as we've heard over and over, gone 8-4, right, as a starter. You bring him in clearly as your backup, but what is a backup's job? First job is always be ready, right? What are you always ready for? You're ready for injuries. So if your starter goes down in a second notice, grab your helmet, make a couple of passes, you're in the game. That's job number one. Job number two is, just like in baseball, if your starter cannot get the job done, if he cannot, then he gets relieved. He gets pulled, and you bring in your backup, and you say, I'm going to give you the team. Maybe you do it for a week. Maybe you make a change for the year. That's the coach's call. So why do you have this backup who's done 76 offensive plays in 14 games? Do the math. Do the math. That's not even six plays a game. That's barely five, a little more than five plays a game. Five. That's what they've given Tim Tebow, first-round draft pick, starting quarterback, took his team and won a playoff game last year. You go get him, and he gets five plays a game. Who can be impactful on five plays a game? Football is a game about rhythm, it's about feel, it's about reads, it's about adjustments. You don't bring a guy in and have him run four or five plays and then bench him. You bring him in and you say, this is your team today. Show me what you got. I just don't get it. You know, and how can Rex Ryan be so stable that he's going to be there next year? You in New York, bruh. You're in New York. It's a very bright spotlight, and your team stinks. And that performance you did last week against Tennessee, ridiculous. Ridiculous. I just don't get it sometimes. I just don't get it. Anyway, I'm sorry. I digress. Bengals going to beat the Steelers. I don't think this is the Steelers' year. You know, and the thing about it is, you can hear it in K-Star's voice. He knows. You can hear it in his voice. Now, of course, if the Steelers win, he's going to come in here Tuesday night, and he's going to be beating his chest. I told you, we're back, and we just got, you know, I'm ready for that. But this just isn't their year. You can't do it every year, you know, and then, you know, the injuries and the things that they've gone through over there, this is not their year. And the Bengals are going to go in there. Bengals are playing, I think, much better football than the Steelers. And I just think the Bengals are going to have their way. It may not be a blowout, but I say it's going to be 7-10 points. And in NFL, that's not a blowout. That's one score, two scores. It's not bad. But I look at like 31-21. And Big Ben's still hurting. Don't let him fool you. Okay, he's still hurting. Okay, that's all I'm saying. So Bengals going to take it. And listen, we love K-Star. He's our boy. He's our man, 20 grand. Okay, and K-Star is a loyal member of our team, and we love him to death. But of the three of us, he's the one that gets blinded by his loyalties more than me, Dr. Train. Okay, Dr. Train and I are realists. We love our teams. We're going to support our teams. We're going to beat it to the end. But we also know when our team stinks, it stinks. Train knows right now that the Bears are in trouble. He's not going to deny it. He's flabbergasted at what he's seen from a team that was 7-1 and now 8-6 and barely holding on. And he knows the truth, you know. So there's loyalty and then there's blindness, all right. And K-Star right now is really blind at thinking that his Steelers are just going to, you know. I'm not saying they can't do it. They can win these next two games. I just don't believe it because, I go off of what I see. This is what I saw against the Cowboys. I saw that this was their Super Bowl. This was a big game. They walked in and expected to see a Dallas team that other people had seen in December, and that's not what they saw. They saw a team that had grit, that had determination, that had fight. And the Steelers did too, not selling them short at all. The Steelers had grit, determination, and fight too, but just not enough. And I think it's going to be the same way with Cincinnati. Cincinnati is going to have their way. I really don't see. I just can't see the Steelers going anywhere. So that's how I call it, and we'll see what happens on Sunday. Don't forget, Monday Night Football is not going to be Monday night because that's Christmas Eve. Monday Night Football is getting moved to Saturday night, and it's Atlanta at Detroit. So, you know, keep that in mind for fantasy football, you know, lineups and all that good stuff. Saturday night is when the game starts. No game last night. Thursday Night Football is done. No game last night. So, you know, we are next week. I'm sorry, Saturday and Sunday this weekend. And still haven't determined when we're going to do a show, guys. I'm looking at my schedule. I'm trying to figure it out. I just don't know. I'm going to shoot out some times to Dr. Train and K-Star, and I'm going to be prepared to come on alone if these guys can't do it because it's a holiday week, and I understand, you know, priorities in life, and I might be able to find a time that I can come on and do a recap when these guys aren't available, but I'd rather have them, so we're going to see what I can work out. Still looking at maybe Wednesday as a time. I'll just leave it at that. Still looking at maybe Wednesday. I'll leave it at that. 347-838-9525. 347-838-9525. I want to shout out to Dr. Train sitting there on hold listening. You know, and he clearly says sometimes he just likes to call in and listen. That's what I want to do one night. I don't know. Maybe one of these next couple shows, I might just not participate and we still got to get K-Star to host. Maybe have K-Star host and have it just be him and Dr. Train. Or maybe like for half the show or something because, you know, after a while I'll be like, no, I got to come on. I can't believe you guys said that. And I'd have to come on and school them both. But it is nice to actually listen to your show being done by others, you know, and I'm sure Train's enjoying that now because why wouldn't you want to listen to Commissioner T? But anyway, let's go on to the next big game of the week, Giants at the Ravens. Again, can the Giants recover from the shellacking they took in Atlanta? And conventional wisdom says yes. Conventional wisdom says that when this team has their butts handed to them, they fight back. That's conventional wisdom. I have a gut feeling as a football fan, not as a Cowboy fan, that loss is going to be more than it can recover because they were in shock. You know, similar looks that I saw to the Steelers losing and how they just never thought that they were going to lose this game. At least before the game, they didn't think it. I look at the Giants who got whooped, and I say, I don't know that they can come back from that. They might. They might prove me completely wrong and be incredibly resilient. But I don't know that they can. And when you look at the Ravens, new offensive coordinator, talking about Ray Rice getting more touches. We don't know if Torrey Smith's going to play because he had a concussion. But what we are looking at is the potential return of Ray Lewis. We're looking at Ray Lewis and Terrell Suggs in the lineup for the first time this year. That's huge. That's huge. And you know, I'm telling you, if that Miami, I was about to say, yeah, they're all done. If that New York football giant offense has a look at the Ravens' D and see Ray Lewis and Terrell Suggs coming to get you, it's going to be a long day for the Giants. It's going to be a long day. Now, I've already picked the Ravens. Say what you want about my biasness. I don't care. I honestly think the Ravens are going to win this game and drop the Giants to 8-7. I honestly think the Giants are going to not make the playoffs at this point. I honestly think that either Dallas or Washington is going to step up and win two straight and close out the division. And I think when you look at the playoff picture and you look at the tiebreakers and all of that. You know, the Giants go down to 8-8. They're out. there is nothing that they have. There's no tiebreaker. They're going to be out. I mean, is it impossible to think that the sixth seed couldn't be 8-8? No, it's not. No, it's not. Vikings are at 8-6. As I'm looking at this right now, Vikings are at 8-6. They've got Houston and Green Bay. They could lose both those games. They could lose both those games. The Bears are 8-6 at Detroit, at Arizona. I mean, if any given Sunday and you're playing a division opponent against Detroit at home, that's going to be a tough game. But Arizona's look pathetic this year. They can't figure out who should play quarterback. They're in bad shape. So, you know, the Bears could come out of this, to me, at 10-6. But you know what? With what we've seen from them, they could also lose both those games. You know, the Detroit game in Detroit is going to be hard. I think the Bears might be looking at 9-7. Cowboys, New Orleans, and Washington, you know, I mean, the good news for Dallas is if the Giants do lose and the Cowboys lose and Washington wins, then the game next week against Washington still counts. It still would be for the division. If Dallas loses on Sunday, wins against New York, Dallas would still win the division. I found that out recently. And, of course, back to the Giants at Baltimore and then home at Philly. Should beat Philly. But, you know, let's see what Philly does this week. Hold on here. You know, against the Redskins. Let's see what Philly does. Let's see if they come to play. That'll give us a good benchmark for judging Philly in the future. You know, if it's 41-0 at half, then I know Philly didn't come to play, like, at all. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out, because you've got three NFC East teams and you've got two AFC North teams jockeying for position right now. You know, that's what we have. So it's going to be interesting to see, because, you know, three of these teams ain't going anywhere. So I'm sorry, did I say? Yeah, well, two NFC Norths, but there's three going to play out. I mean, three, there's already, Packers are already in. So, yeah, right, next game. 49ers at the Seahawks. I think the Seahawks are getting far too much credit. Far too much. I mean, granted, they've held home court, and I give them credit for that. Y'all got to take a minute here. Matter of fact, I'm going to give y'all something to listen to. I want y'all to think about this, okay? It's Commissioner T talking. Madden voice. Think about this for a minute.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Yeah. Yeah, and because I can.
We're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice. Practice, man. I mean, how silly is that?
Now, Tony, you guys can point.
That's his T.O. We don't want T.O. right now. He's all over the
TV. I can probably teach you a few things.
I'll teach you a few things, okay? I'm going to teach you a few things. Because I can. That's what I do here on the Madden Voice. Okay. Yes, the Seahawks have been phenomenal at home. Yes, they have. The Seahawks have been pretty much unbeatable this year at home. Okay. Russell Wilson has looked pretty good. Marshawn Lynch is the truth. The defense is a physical, aggressive defense. So I get it. Okay. I get it. You know, when I look at Seattle right now, they're trying to win that division. And because of the tie, even if they win, they're still a half a game behind San Francisco. So this will get them closer, but they still would need more. The 49ers are a good team. They've had some rough games, but they're a good team. If there's any team that can go into Seattle and win this game, it's the 49ers. You know, Kaepernick brings another dimension, kind of like a Wilson. Their defense is the original. You know, it's not a copycat defense. To me, Seattle is a copycat defense off of what San Francisco was able to do. That's just how I feel. I'm sticking by it. When you look at these teams, you know, points scored about the same, points allowed about the same. The difference about the same, touchdowns about the same, Home record, 49ers have one loss, Seahawks got none. Road record, I'm going to leave that out because the Seahawks got some splaining to do there. But very similar performing teams. But keep this in mind. This is, in essence, a playoff game. You know, for teams that are trying to get into the playoffs and not been eliminated, these games this week are a playoff game. Does anybody know a better motivator than Harbaugh? I don't know better. There's some good ones out there, Tomlin and the such. But wasn't he there last year? I mean, didn't he take this team to the conference championship? That's how you grow, you know, that Kevlar on you. That's how you get tough. I just think the 49ers know the magnitude of this game. The Saints know the magnitude of this game. But the 49ers are going to come ready to play. They're going to come right from the gun, coming at you. There's no feel-out period. There's no warm-ups. We come into play. And so you got to go with the 49ers on this one. And I'll probably come in here on Monday or whenever, and I'll be like, what? Because, you know, it's not like anybody listens to our predictions. You know, it's going to be what it's going to be. But it's very interesting when you think back about your predictions that didn't go out and you wonder how many people heard you. But anyway, lastly, quickly, the playoff picture. Kind of already talked about it, but a little bit more. So on the NFC side, you've got Atlanta, okay? And Atlanta is 11-2. I'm sorry, 12-2. Okay, that's Atlanta. And then you've got 49ers at 10-3-1. They're trying to get into a spot where they can get the other first round bye. And then you've got Green Bay at 10-4. So Washington, 1 o'clock games, 8-6. Seattle. I'm trying to see the time here. Seattle's 9-5, and Sunday night football is Seattle at San Francisco. Oh, I'm sorry, San Francisco at Seattle. Sixth seed right now, Minnesota, and Minnesota ends with two brutal games. They have to go to Houston, and then they get to host Green Bay. So it is not beyond the realm of reality that Minnesota will not see playoff time. It's just not in the cards for them right now. All right. 347-838-9525. Let's hold on a second here. Let's put on another rant, you know, one that I really like. I'm sure you guys like it too. Since we're talking about the 49ers, I think this is very appropriate.
No. You don't want me to go much further. Go right ahead. Ask your question. Vernon, just it was something that I told everybody at the very beginning of the week. I will not tolerate players that think it's about them when it's about the team. And we cannot make decisions that cost the team and then come off the sideline and it's nonchalant. No. You know what? This is how I believe, okay? I'm from the old school. I believe this. I would rather play with 10 people and just get penalized all the way until we got to do something else rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team. It is more about them than it is about the team. I cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it. I want winners. I want people that want to win.
Yeah, Adam, he just couldn't coach him. Sorry. Love you, brother. Good defensive coordinator. Not head coach material. All right. Let me wrap up. Good games this week. Check them out. Real quick, if you wanted, I've had a few people say, who's going to the playoffs? Tell us who's going to the playoffs. I'm going to tell you right now. Okay, AFC, I think the six seeds you see now are the six seeds that are going in. I can't tell you the order, but I think those are the teams. I think Pittsburgh and Miami are not going anywhere. And the six teams that you have there right now are the six teams that will be in the playoffs. On the NFC side, I'm struggling with this one. I do think Dallas is going to win a division. Call it homerism. I don't care. I think Dallas wins the division. I think Seattle at 9-5. May split the next two games and end up at 10-6, which should be enough for them to hold wild card spot. Then you have the last spot between the Redskins, the Vikings, the Bears, and the Giants. Giants probably 9-7. Bears could win both games even though they're on the road, but I say they split 1-9-7. I think Minnesota goes to 8-8. Based on how I perceive the tiebreakers to be, if it's 9-7 all the way around, you're probably looking at, common opponents and it's tough. I can't figure out of Washington, Chicago, and the Giants. I don't think Chicago would get in. I think it'd come down to Washington and the Giants. And be honest with you, if I had to pick, you know, because they might break their little curse, and it might very well be those Giants coming in and grabbing a sixth spot at 9-7. So that's how I see it. And if that's the case, Dallas would then host a game against Seattle. That's how I look at it. So those are my voices of opinion, and I stand by it. Let me thank a caller from Jersey calling in. Fantasy football is always good chatting about some fantasy football. If you guys are doing well in your leagues, that's great. If you're not, well, too bad. Playoffs are in place right now, and pretty soon it'll be NFL playoffs, and then we're done. I mean, can you believe we're on week 16? Two games to go, and the regular season is done. Two games to go, and 20 NFL teams will be all done, and we'll be down to 12 to get into the tournament. Great time of the year, but it's also a little sad because unlike basketball and baseball and even hockey, although hockey's having their own issues, you know, those seasons can go forever. Football's 4 months. Granted, they have preseason games, but it's 4 months, you know, for most of us. So with that said, I want to thank everybody. I want to thank your loyalty. Tell a friend to tell a friend. And, keep the Newtown 26 close to your heart. And the next time you feel bad or down about something going on in your life, just imagine that there's 26 people that should be here with us today that aren't over someone's just, I don't even know. It's just sad. So on that note, we will see you sometime next week here on the Madden Boys. Cannot tell you when yet, but we will see you sometime next week. And in the meantime, please enjoy all the football games this week, because you know what? That's where it's ultimately settled, on the field. Happy holidays. Take care. Talk to you next week.